For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, welcome to CarCast. I'm Matt, the moderator. DeAndre here with Bill Goldberg. How are you, sir?
I'm good, man. Just another day on the ranch. And yourself?
I'm doing well. Thanks for asking. I think the audio is fine, but if you guys hear a little difference in me, I don't have the microphone in front of me. I'm in a hotel room in Detroit.
It's Matt's fault this time.
It is. It is my fault this time.
As I'm kissing my microphone to make sure that everything's good on my end.
Yeah, no, you sound better because the microphone is closer. I think last week it was a little quiet, but you know, we're working it out. We don't always hear exactly what you guys hear, so we're working out a few of the bugs. But I came into town for the Detroit Auto Show, which I guess is North American International Auto Show, which seems weird to me. It feels like American Dodgeball Association of America. Like, it just feels like there's a lot going on in there. So the show, as we're here recording this, I'm in a hotel room. It starts today for the press day, so I haven't gone over there yet, but I've been in town for a few days for the new Ford F-150 unveiling. Did a few other things in town that I'll tell you about. But yeah, it's been interesting, and it's been fun to catch up with the group and catch up with Ford and to see kind of it's just a mid-cycle refresh that they did on the truck. And they were able to incorporate a couple of pretty cool new features. So the design changes on the F-150 are really around the grill. They've done a couple different things on the grill and the front bumper area and the trim packages and stuff, you know, like for Tremor, and it's got a little bit more off-road feel to it. And there's some blackout packages, and some of the grills look like they're modular, where there's a grill and headlights, and some of it look like it goes all the way across from side to side, which they call their coast-to-coast grill. And it's kind of a cool design that they've done. But the big difference that I think you guys would like is this new modular front bumper. And I don't believe it's on all of the vehicles, but anything off-road capable, from Raptor down to Tremor to 4x4 and whatever, the center section of the bumper is separate from the end caps, if you will. So the end caps can be swapped out for more tire clearance, right? But the center section can now be swapped out, and you can slide in aftermarket accessories. You can slide in the winch from Ford's performance catalog. There's a light bar you can put in there. And it's all basically wired up and ready to go for these options. But now you can just go to the Ford performance catalog and go, great, I want the winch. It's going to slide right in. There's an attachment for the light bar even behind the winch that mounts to that bumper area in the grill. It's just kind of cool to make everything kind of piece together.
So at the end of the day, they're giving you more options to spend more money.
Well, that's right. Yeah, that's
right. Well, I mean, hey, that's fantastic, right? But you're paying for the service.
Well, yes, but if they're finding that a lot of F-150 customers are personalizing their vehicles, then this makes it easier to do.
Well, yeah. And they make
right, and yes, you make some money in the aftermarket.
But it's brilliant, right? Everybody does it. I mean, it's a conduit to getting the customization you want a lot quicker, right? You cut out the middleman, and because it's already an option from the manufacturer. So I mean, it's a bitchin' deal. It's convenient.
Right. So now the advantage, of course, is with dealer accessories, you can oftentimes get it under the warranty of the vehicle and get it built into the financing of the truck. So you can go to your dealer and go, I want an F-150 Tremor. And yeah, I want the tow hitch, and I want some other lights and accessories and things like that, and just wrap it all up in one pretty bow. And
Dodge's direct connection.
What Dodge is doing to a direct connection. And that's kind of moving toward the way of the future, as we were talking about how the aftermarket parts. So the aftermarket companies are now having to work with the manufacturers to get the parts listed in the manufacturer's direct distribution network, in this case, direct connection or Ford Performance, because they've been saying, like the Mustang, the computer is basically locked out. You can't really do much aftermarket tuning for it. But they've already announced a Whipple supercharger in the Ford Performance catalog because they granted Whipple the access to tune it, right? And Whipple's already going, we're hitting, 800 horsepower with a big supercharger on the new GTs. So it can be done. It's just, now there's the finance, the money and the politics aspect of it, right?
Going on the whole time, right?
Yeah, right. So the good question is going to be, like, in this particular case, would the Whipple be sold by Whipple dealers or only sold as a Ford Performance part, and then Whipple dealers can install it, or Ford dealers can install it? I don't know. Right. Depends. I'm sure Whipple went to Ford.
Yeah.
So Whipple went to Ford and said, hey, don't screw our installers, our dealers. So if they have to buy the Ford branded piece, then Ford gets their cut, right? They get their licensing fee, they get that tuning access fee. And then Whipple says, all of my dealers can order that particular vehicle. And then, there's a little bit of money that goes to Ford, which I get it. It makes sense. It seems fine. It would be worse if Ford said, you can't tune it. The car is the way it is. Forget about adding power.
Well, no question. And it would cost them a lot of money.
And it would cost them a lot of customers too. Yeah, that's where the money would be. Anyway, so a new addition to Ford F-150 on the interior is they all have the digital gauge cluster now. Some of the lower trim models had conventional gauges, but it's all now the 12 point something inch digital gauge cluster. Some of the models, I don't think it's all of them, but like the base models don't have it, but the ones above it now have a heads-up display, and the heads-up display shows the different drive modes and a number of different things. So that's kind of cool. Now, and when you get over to Raptor has the heads-up display and shows you some of your off-road features, Baja modes and things like that up in the heads-up display. So you don't have to take your eyes off the road.
I think the best, I wasn't a big fan of the heads-up display, and in my TRX, which I drive every day, the best facet of heads-up display is that it shows you your, on the TRX at least, it shows you your route,
Yeah, right. So when you get directions and it tells you to turn, at least has the arrow or something, and I know everybody kind of displays it differently, but you're right, it's cool. So I've been forcing myself to use the heads-up display in vehicles more, because I want to give sort of a fair look at how everybody's doing it. And now that I've been doing it for a while and I figured out sort of where I like it positioned on the windshield and whatever, I've gotten used to it. And there's been times that I'm driving and I'm looking right through it and I don't even notice that it's there. And then there's times I do notice. And
it takes a little while to get used to it. I didn't like it in the beginning because it drew my eyes there, but now I don't even look at my dashboard, literally. I mean, yeah. whether it's using the controls on the wheel or whether it's just the heads up, man, I mean, it's perfect. It's great.
It is a feature that I like, and it's a feature I had to get used to. Unlike the start-stop feature on cars, I still hate that feature when it shuts the motor. I don't know why. I just hate that feature. It just seems annoying to me.
Useless.
And And it doesn't fit my driving style. Like when I get to a stoplight, I like closing the gap. I don't like these massive gaps in between cars, and it backs up traffic, especially in LA, backs up traffic into a turning lane and everyone's honking. I'm always closing the gap. So I usually get pretty close to the person in front of me. And then when that person realizes I'm up on them, they move forward a little bit. So when I'm inching forward three times at a stoplight to close the gap and let everyone pile in behind me, that start-stop feature is a pain in the ass. Right. So it's kind of why I don't really like that feature.
It's always now,
but on a hybrid vehicle, you can still creep forward and it doesn't matter. And it keeps the engine off, which is even like the NSX, which is hybrid. I noticed that it was like, hey, the motor shuts off at the stoplight, but I can still move forward. And when the light turns green, the motor still, the car moves forward on the electric motor. And then the motor, then the engine kicks in. I didn't mind that for some reason.
It likens itself more, easier to your driving style, right?
So, yeah, it absolutely did. So anyway, a feature I like, heads up display, feature I didn't like is the start stop feature, but I don't know. You turn it off, I guess.
Not just useless to me. I can't freaking stand it. I mean, it just irritates the shit out of me when it happens. And I don't know why it makes me that bad.
I talked to Lake Speed Jr. He's the oil scientist, mad scientist. And I was like, you know what? Does that hurt the engine? Could it hurt the engine? And he said, interesting. He's like, it could if the stoplight is long and all of the oil just goes back to the oil pan. I mean, in theory, everything is still pretty wet with oil, but the idea of shutting off a oil pump again and again and again could potentially lead to damage on the engine. Now, it would be tough to get to that point because, again, everything is still pretty lubricated and the stoplights may not be long enough for you to sit there with the engine off before it fires up again. But there is a thought. There is maybe something worth testing at the OE level going, hey, does this hurt the engines or not in the long term?
I think there's no question that deserves testing. You know, I mean, it should have been tested before it was put
there. Yeah, and I don't know. Maybe they tried testing, or maybe they didn't care because they had to meet emission standards, and that was more important. The government doesn't care how long the engine lasts; they just care what the emissions are.
Bingo.
Coming out of that car. The big new feature on the Ford F-150 is the optional tailgate. I say optional tailgate. It has a tailgate. It just has the what they call the Pro Access tailgate, which is a pretty cool and interesting design. And honestly, something that Ford probably had to get around to doing at some point. So you can walk up to the vehicle and the tailgate will fold down like a conventional tailgate. Or when it's closed, the center section can swing out like a door. Now, it's not the entire tailgate that swings out like a door. When the tailgate is closed, it's a center section. So there's about 1 foot on each side that stays in place. And then the center section opens like a door. And there's a step that comes down, allows you to walk up through that center section. They did a kind of a smart little feature where that center section that opens up has, I believe, three stops, like indents. So if you have a trailer hooked up, it can open up and hold itself at 37 degrees. You can fold the step down and people can reach in there and grab something or step in there and get into the bed of the vehicle. It's a cool design. It's an interesting design. So what I was interested in was on my Lightning, I have the conventional tailgate. What I have difficulty doing is, you know, we have a beverage company, we have Bravago, and I needed to bring product down to a distributor in Southern California. I needed to bring a half a pallet. It's about 1,000 pounds. And I have to forklift it to the back of the truck. That's not the issue. But when you fold the tailgate down, you've got about what, a foot and a half, 2 feet, 2 feet of tailgate. And I don't have like a reacher my forklift
can extend out forward to place it in the middle of the bed as opposed to partially on the tailgate.
That's exactly right. So I have what's called a walkie stacker. It's not a full tail. My warehouse isn't large enough for a full forklift. So mine is like a push system. You walk behind it. It's got a handle on it. And I can lift stuff and move it around in the warehouse. But that means it doesn't extend, right? It doesn't reach. And I don't have the extra long length.
It's usually a man's problem getting older.
Yeah, right. the forks, sometimes you can put like the sleeves or something on the forks to make them longer, but I can't put that option because this thing would tilt forward, right? Because it's not really weighted that way. So I have to put some cardboard boxes flat on the bed of my truck, put the pallet in as much as I can reach it, and then I kind of pull the forklift back, lift half of the pallet and kind of slide it, push it into the back of the truck. However, if the tailgate wasn't on there, I wouldn't have the problem. Or if the tailgate opened up like a door sideways, I wouldn't have the problem. And again, this isn't something that I do every day. It was just one of the things that occurred to me. Now, having this middle portion of the tailgate open up like a door, and I don't know if this would work. I would have to take some measurements, but can I open that door, lift the pallet, lower it into the bed of the truck, and then the width of the forks can just slide out the back of the truck where that little door opens? I don't know. I'd have to take some measurements.
I'm guessing no, because of the size constraint, right? I mean, it's a great option to have. There's no question, 1,000%, it would have been much better if it fully swung out,
yeah,
like a door. But I mean, I would imagine design issues prevented that. I don't know, but I mean, it's cool to have it as an option. Even, I mean, it looks like a tease to me because it just shows you how convenient it would be if the entire thing swung open.
Yeah, and I don't know what the reasoning but is behind that. What I think it has to do with is the way when you fold the tailgate down like a conventional tailgate, it's still double latched on the top, hinged on the bottom, and it has the power capability to raise and lower, and it has the wire strings on it, so you can put a lot of weight onto it. So they wanted it to fold down conventionally and be strong enough that you can put ramps and drive ATVs and stuff or whatever into it. So I think if they made one side open, I think they would just have some strength issues because of, you know, the rod, the pivot point.
Oh yeah,
folding down. So I don't think this middle door is going to work for my forklift issue, but I'm probably one in a million people that have this forklift issue. So I'm not too worried about it. It was just a thought.
I wouldn't bank on that, man. I guarantee you there are a number of people even listening to this that would have the same type of issue with something like that. But again,
you know, but
as an option to where it could work, that, I mean, that's great.
You know, and then they were pretty smart about it. So in the bed of the truck, they put these indents where you can put dividers. You can put just slats of wood, or you could get dividers from Ford Performance and whatever. But if you throw a tonneau cover over it and you have a divider toward the back of the truck, with that door opening and not having to fold down the whole tailgate, you essentially have another trunk because you don't have to lean over the tailgate to reach into the back of the truck. When the door opens, you're 2 feet closer. So you can open this door, and now you have a storage compartment that basically acts as a trunk, and then you close the door. It's like a whole new little storage area. So they were super smart about having to make it work, and then adding things like, hey, you can get the tonneau cover, you can put the dividers, and now you can use it for more things. It's not just an access door. So a very cool feature. I think people will like it. And the beauty is You could just fold it down like a regular tailgate. If you don't care about the swing outdoor, it's just a regular tailgate as well. It's fine. However, you do lose one option. In mine, when I fold down the tailgate, I have the step that comes out and the pole so you can walk up. You can't have that with the swing out tailgate. Now, well, if you
option, you can't go for because you need that step.
I need the step. However, if you open the swing out door, there is a step that folds down. It just means if you fold down the tailgate in the normal way, there's no longer a step to get in. So you either have to do the swing out door or you jump up there and you climb around, which maybe with a running start and a trampoline, I can get up in there. Oh, and
I'm envisioning that right now.
Which I may try because I just got a trampoline in my gym.
I'm begging you to video it. Dear God.
I'm going to see if I can run and jump in the trampoline and get it to the back of the truck. I think that would be an interesting video. All right. So the pro tailgate, not available on the Raptor, on either of the Raptors, the Raptor and the Raptor R. I think it's just more about the truck is taller and the whole system doesn't really work. It's higher. You can't really reach into it. It's an off-road truck. You get it. Maybe it would be a cool feature. I don't know, but it's not available on the Raptor. Now, it's not that you couldn't physically put it on there. All the attachment points and everything are the same. What you would run into is possibly a software issue. Like on your dash, when it says your tailgate is open, you wouldn't have that. And maybe the buttons to open it, the power buttons to open it, I don't know if that would probably work. You could probably get that to work. But I thought about this and I asked the engineer, and I was like, can you put the new tailgate on my old truck, on my 22, on my 22 Lightning? And they're like, it would bolt up, but you'd have a software issue. And I assume that would be the case with the Raptor as well. So, so there's that.
Small detail. You can do it.
A couple more features worth mentioning. This is a cool feature that I think Tesla owners kind of have a taste of this already. And I think we would like it is there is now a security feature on the trucks that if your truck is being towed or even if it's lifted, there's an accelerometer in there. So if somebody was coming and they even jacked up your truck to steal the wheels off of it and you had it locked and you were at home or at work or whatever, if you had your mobile phone, it would alert you via the app on the Ford app and go, something's going on with your truck. And then it would immediately say, give you the option, go, don't worry about it, it's me. Or it would say, it's not me, would you like to contact the authorities? And wherever you are, it would walk you through the process of quickly contacting the authorities, giving the authorities tracking information on your truck and basically fill out the information for the police report for you.
Well, after the conversation we had last week about Dodge and how popular it was to be stolen, I think they need to.
Right. It's a cool feature. Now, the other thing is if you say it's not me, my truck is being stolen, it makes the GPS location features in the vehicle undefeatable. So you can't turn it off. It locks it so you can keep tracking the vehicle. I'm sure at some point
it'd be better if it electrocuted the fuckers that were trying to steal.
Right. Right.
It's a great option.
So here's the thing is you have the option to contact the authority. Of course, the unpopular option, according to Ford, is take matters into your own hands. But you do have that option. Now, it's not 100% flawless because if you're asleep and it's the middle of the night and your phone's turned off and you don't have alerts on or whatever, you're not going to see the alert until you wake up in the morning. It's not a perfect solution, but it is interesting, and it was something within the capability of Ford to do and say, hey, we can alert you when something's happening to your truck and submit all of the information. I think it's a pretty cool feature. I think it's an interesting feature, especially as we talked about last week, that cars getting catalytic converters stolen and they're jacking the vehicle up, or being completely stolen, doesn't always happen in the middle of the night now. Like, people are going to parking garages during the day at work or whatever and going, hey, I'm going to do steal wheels or steal your truck or something. And this would alert you.
Yeah, I mean, it's an option that a lot of people are implementing these days, i.e. Security One, the people that run my cameras in my garage, because I would say 3:30 in the morning last week, one of the smoke alarms went off, which prompted my phone to ring, which prompted texts to my phone, which I never saw because I was asleep. But yes, it's a great option.
Yeah. Anyway, like, cool feature. It doesn't have like the cameras in a Tesla where it records the person stealing your car, but this is the next best thing. So anyway, that was pretty cool. And then across the lineup, Ford is reducing the amount of options. They were figuring out that there's just too many different things you can do when you're ordering the vehicle, and people are sort of missing out on opportunities or getting confused. So they've drastically reduced, like a 90% reduction in the amount of options, you know. So, and they're built into packages to make it a little bit easier to buy. For example, there are three Raptors now. There's V6 Raptor, V6 Raptor 37-inch tires, and Raptor R, which is on 37-inch tires. So you get 35-inch Raptor, 37-inch Raptor, 37-inch Raptor R. The only option other than colors is the sunroof, the moonroof, or not. That's the only real difference. Now, there are some changes to the Raptor. And first and foremost, their engineers are like, it's suspension. That's our number one goal on the Raptor, is to constantly improve suspension. So if you get the 35-inch V6 Raptor, you get the Fox Live shocks. If you get the 37-inch tires on the V6 Raptor, or if you get a Raptor R that's already on 37s, you now get the dual valve Live Fox. So compression and rebound, right? And a much smoother ride overall, especially on road, more high speed capability, and some pretty cool little upgrades. Has the heads up display. I think Recaro seats might be the only option, although it might come in the R. I'm not sure if it's standard in the 35 inch tired Raptor. A couple of different grills that they, you know, they revised the grill and do a few things on the wheels and stuff. And it's a nice little upgrade. The V6 is unchanged. The 700 horsepower R, they didn't release the actual horsepower figure, but because the TRX is on its way out and it's 702, Ford just said more than 700. So I'm sure they're just going to go to like 705 or 710 just to kind of beat the TRX. And I don't know if it's going to be that much of a difference. I think they're just going for bragging rights because, you know, it's an unfair fight, but TRX doesn't get to respond next year and go, hey, like, actually, you brought it up last week was when we talked about the launch edition. They're going, launch edition doesn't have a bump in horsepower, right? They could have been like, hey, launch, or sorry, final edition. Final edition could have had 710, right? But there would have been
many a happy Mopar guy out there if that was the case.
Right. Because
like myself, who's not going to purchase it just because of that fact.
Right. So, like, and the final edition had 710. No one with a TRX would be like, who cares? Like, you know, no one's going to really like it. 702, 710. That's like a Canon air filter away from getting it. So who cares? But if you wanted the final edition, you get to go, I did get the 710 horsepower version. But everybody that has a TRX isn't going to run to trade it in. You were the only one that probably would have that.
Are you kidding me? I like being that guy. It's all good.
I think that's pretty much it. So F-150 got some nice upgrades to it. And talking with the engineers and the designers and the guys who pick the interiors. And I had conversations with them. I was like, hey, you're the interior guy. I just want to bring up to you. It's like, I have the Ford Lightning with the white and blue interior. And it's like, it's not white. It's like a gray, it's like a light gray. And I said, you guys did this blue strip of Alcantara down the middle of my seat. And it looks great. But then the light gray leather is the perforated leather for the heated and cooled seats. And I said, whatever material you picked for that Alcantara, whatever you did to dye it up toward the headrest on the front and the back of the seat, the blue bleeds in a little bit into my gray leather. And I said, I don't think it's a heat issue because I've got all the tinted windows, and it's not a sweat issue because it's at the top of the seat where you don't even touch anything. I go, I think it's just cleaning. Like if I clean the seats with a leather cleaner or something and you kind of hit that blue area a little bit and rub onto the gray. And then I felt bad because he was like, oh, I'm so glad you told me this. It's like, this is the kind of stuff that really just kind of gets under my skin. And I wish I had known about that. And I got to go back. I was like, oh, you're serious. Like you're really disappointed by this. And then I felt bad that I even told him. I was like, I didn't mean to shit on your day, man.
You should have been disappointed. Anybody in that position, no matter what manufacturer, wants to have the best product out there they can. And if the product went out there and it's subpar comparatively to his, standards, then yeah, I mean, I can understand it. You should appreciate that as a Ford.
I did like that he was passionate about it, because he was there all day giving speeches about interior materials and how he's the leader on that and why he chose certain things and just all the research and the touch and the feel. And the guy who did the grill, he's like, hey, on the off-road, like on Tremor and whatever, he goes, I did this grill. And he goes, and you see this texture that's on the grill? The reason why I did this texture is because if you're going off-road and debris is flying up and you hit a little rock or a pebble and it hits the plastic grill, if it puts a little indentation in it, you won't really notice it because I already built in this texture of indentations. So I'm just trying to make, I was like, super smart. I like that. I like that about him.
Consumer that's passionate about a brand, you appreciate stuff like that because they're thinking ahead of the game, right?
Absolutely. And so that kind of leads me to the next topic, but why we have a few more minutes is while I was here, I went to Ford's headquarters and toured the Rouge plant where they build the F-150. Now, keep in mind, I'm a fan of industrialism. I like the idea of just building from scratch, inventing, assembly lines and a process of employing 10,000, 50,000, 100,000 people. And someone like Henry Ford having a vision of going, I'm going to buy 200 acres. It's going to be near the water. Boats are going to come in to bring coal. I'm going to build a power plant on site. And we're going to build trucks. And instead of taking, 2 weeks to build a Model T, I'm going to get it down to, a day. Right. And now the assembly line where F-150s are, the F-150s are basically on this wood platform and it's on like a little podium, and it can raise and lower depending on which station it goes to. And each worker has 53 seconds and it doesn't stop. The assembly line doesn't stop. It moves slow enough that every person has 53 seconds to get something to get a headliner installed, get door mirrors put in, have the doors come by and get windows and speakers installed. And it's amazing to me. So I go, so every 53 seconds, a truck is coming off the end of the assembly line. And they said, yes. And I go, well, what's the entire build life of the truck? And they said 20 hours, but that includes stamping the metal from scratch, the aluminum and paint, where the actual process, it was, I forgot what they said, it was like 5 hours or something like that. Don't quote me on it. But in the actual assembly line when it's done. But there's a stamping plant where they do the aluminum from soup to nuts, from a giant roll of aluminum to a finished truck is 20 hours.
That's pretty unbelievable.
And it takes, there's something like 1,000 people in the Rouge assembly plant at any given time working and getting it done. Just the whole idea of that is impressive. And it's completely made in the US. And Ford, of course, being able to brag because we're at a Ford event, Ford employs the most hourly workers in America than any other car company, maybe just, any other company.
You just reiterated their current commercial campaign.
That's it. That's what they're pushing. Honestly, they did the presentation last night and had a big concert. Darius Rucker was there and he was great. And I think they used the word America more times than they used the word F-150. By the way, a little side note, Darius Rucker from Hooting the Blowfish. If you guys want to hear something interesting, he was on the Adam Carolla show about a week or so ago, and he was telling stories about being the biggest band in the world in the 90s. And he is fantastic. He was just like, oh man, we party. Man, did we party. And he's like,
you have no fucking idea. He's one of the biggest wrestling fans in the world. And during
I didn't know he was such a huge wrestling fan.
I wish I would have known you were going to see Rock, because he's a great, you know, fantastic dude.
And I talked to Adam on the way. He called and was like, I'm heading out to this event, Darius Rucker. He's like, oh, he's like, it's such a good interview with him. He goes, if you see him backstage, tell him I said hello. He goes, I'm such a fan. And I didn't know that he was such a wrestling fan as well.
The best thing, you know, we both know a shitload of celebrities. And the first thing that pops into my mind when you mentioned the word Darius Rucker is what a fucking down-to-earth, normal guy he is. That's his most endearing quality, 1,000%, because he could be the complete opposite of it because of his success, obviously.
Listen, I agree 100%, and I'm not letting anything out of the bag. There's no secrets. But he was on the interview with Adam. He was like, we partied, the drugs, the alcohol, the whole thing. We did the rock star stuff. And Adam's like, how are all of you guys just out of it and normal? He's like, when we were done, we were just done. It's like, I don't understand. He goes, we're fine. Like, we're all fine. He's like, we just didn't go down that rabbit hole.
Part of a lot of people's lives, it was the 90s, right? And a lot of people stayed in it. A lot of people grew through it. And a lot of people grew up afterwards, right? And I'd like to say, quite obviously, since he's still alive and still successful as shit, reinventing himself every day, he's one of the guys, right? And
he's one of the guys.
I'm one of them too. We all experienced that time, and we're in the spotlight during those days, right? So, yeah, the 90s was freaking awesome. Are you kidding me? I was carrying, you know, you see Dion, right? How he reinvents himself. I was carrying Dion's bags at the Falcons in the 90s. How much fun do you think I was having? I mean, it was absolutely a top. There are a lot of us that are lucky to still be here breathing that experienced what we experienced through the 90s. Yeah.
A great interview with him that Adam did, kind of a peek behind the curtain of, but you're right, from a down to earth guy. And when you watch the video version of it, he's, you know, sitting there with his reading glasses on and having the conversation. And then up on stage, he was a rock star last night, by the way, it was great to see Christy Lee. She hosted, she emceed the entire event. And I didn't want to make a fuss and go backstage and say hi to everybody back there. But at the beginning of the event, I was just up in the front. I had kind of a sectioned off area where I was allowed to be. And from 50 feet away, she was up on stage in the middle of her huge live speech and saw me and waved hi. And I'm glad that she's doing well. If you guys follow her on social media, she had a little bit of a health issue.
While we are on the health issues subject, Steve.
Yeah.
What's going on?
I don't. Steve Mignante, I get his last name wrong, but a longtime commentator of Barrett Jackson and one of the commentators at Roadkill Nights when we were out there. I guess he's been.
He's one of the gang. You know,
yeah.
one of us that has done this for been in the car culture for an extremely long time. I mean, he's with Barrett Jackson. He's a plethora of information, and he's going through some health issues right now. And
he is some kind of
a great friend, and I'm curious to know exactly what's going on. So.
All I know is what I've seen online from people reaching out. I guess he's been fighting some kind of brain issue or a brain infection. A bacteria or infection or something for a little while. It's all been kind of on the down low, but I don't know, maybe someone from the family spoke out and said, go ahead and you know, express your feelings on this. And, you know, everyone on the Barrett Jackson side have all spoken out on social media, Craig Jackson, Carolyn, you know, Chris Jacobs and everybody. If you don't know his name, you've certainly heard his voice. If you've watched anything in the automotive world, he's been kind of a voice of that face and a super knowledgeable guy.
Terrific dude at the same time. Thoughts and prayers go out to he and his family.
Yeah, I wish him the best. And it's kind of a very odd thing, whatever's happening. I'm not quite sure. I don't think it's been like a cancer battle or an Alzheimer's or anything like that. He's been battling for a long time. This is just sounds more of like a freak thing. Honestly, kind of what happened to Christy Lee. And I'll let her tell her story. You know, you can see her on social media. She can tell her story. Or maybe we'll bring her on the show if she wants to talk about it at some point. But another just thing that just, I don't know what happened. And she was like, I don't know what it is. And then eventually she was down for months on this. But it was lovely to see her. And she's up there doing her thing as usual. So, you know, it was good. All right, so we're going to wrap it up, and I think we're about on schedule. If not, we're cutting it a little bit short so I can get over to the auto show. I've kind of got just a few hours window to get over there and see what's going on. I hope it's good. I know last year, my first time at Detroit Auto Show is now. Last year, Alistair Weaver said it was a little kind of sparse.
Hey, if nothing else, it'll be a good comparative tool, right, to see where these auto shows are in 2023, because I mean, if you're going to go to one, the LA Auto Show, the Detroit Auto Show, you know, you go to one of those two or both and pass judgment. So I'm curious to see how it is.
Yeah, I am as well. So I'm going to go and check that out. There's another Mustang event tonight. I don't know that there's any fancy debut of anything. I just think they're just having a party and having everything in one place, from EcoBoost, GT, Dark Horse, GTD, the racing cars, GT3, GT4, everything sort of in one place, which will be kind of fun to see. And then up bright and early tomorrow morning and on a plane back home. So, yeah, I'm excited to go do that. Anything else on your end? I know you're in the garage and you're jumping around from project car to project car.
B28 up on the lift, little brake work going on. And then, you know, it's hard to keep my attention span at one thing, so I jumped over back on the 2500, the 99 Ram, and finished the exhaust on that. Now we have an oil leak, and then we're going to put that sumbitch back out on the road. So headed to New Jersey for an autograph signing this weekend. So back in, I got my one wrestling boot back on this weekend.
Where is that going to be? Can somebody go out and see you? Come say hi, because this is going to be...
It's called iPlay Arena, I think it is. I am not 1000% positive, but I will be posting it on my Instagram. Actually, here it is right here. PlayAmerica.com. Freehold, New Jersey. Play America, Sunday, September 17th. I'll be posting it on Instagram tomorrow. So if you're in the Jersey area, come out and see me and let's talk some cars. That's 99% of my life.
Yeah, right. Awesome. Okay, we're going to wrap things up. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Until next time, keep the air and the spare in the bag and the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.